So much more for a church member or even a person who just attends. If you're just an attender, you need to be involved. There's ministries for you, and we're going to be looking at that. What the Lord and Draper Baptist Church expects of everyone is listed here. And again, this isn't an exhaustive list. It's just an idea of some things that we go over with our members and people who are interested in joining. So number one is faithfulness in attending services. Every pastor I talk to struggles with this. We struggle with it here. Made it through the summer. We did pretty well financially through the summer, but our attendance was way down, and vacations really kill a church our size. When we were in our first church in Reading, we had 700 to 800 people, and we could go 2 or 3 weeks and not even realize that someone wasn't there. And that's sad. That's the bad thing as well as the nice thing about a large church. But the thing about a small church is when someone's not here, we know it. Everybody knows it. So we hope that you're going to be attending. Number one, or letter A, and this is, again, this is just a question for you to be considering, because Hebrews 10, 23 to 25 says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Be there to learn. So are you mature enough spiritually to miss opportunities to grow in the knowledge and understanding of the Lord? That's what we do here. That's what we do in the service. That's what we do in Sunday school. We are training you, teaching you, so you can go out and do the work that God has called you to do. It doesn't mean we're the only church. I'm the only pastor that knows what I'm saying. I don't believe that by any means. There's great churches that are around, but you need to be somewhere. You need to be at church on a Sunday morning. When you're on vacation, don't take vacation from church to attend another place. Letter B, a person will, and again, you can think about this, you know this is true. A person will always do the things he really wants to do and then complain about not having enough time to accomplish the things he pretends he wants to do. I visit people, I talk to people, and whether it's people here from my past churches or just people who I know attend other churches, and they'll say, well, I haven't been out to church for a couple months. I really want to, but just things have gotten so busy. My kids are involved in sports, my kids are doing something else, or just I've been working extra hours at work, and Sunday morning, I work on Saturday when I come home, and Sunday's the only time I have to sleep, and I really want to be at church. Don't tell me that. If you want to be at church, you'd be here. You come to church and you'd sleep Sunday afternoon. I hate to say this, but I love football. I probably don't make it through the first half of too many football games on a Sunday afternoon because I'm falling asleep, and I'll hear the channel change, and Cheryl will be to a Hallmark movie, and I'll say, don't change because you're not watching it, and I am watching it, but sleep during it. Sleep on an afternoon, but don't sleep during church here, especially if you're going to sleep. And you know you're going to fall asleep. I guess maybe you better stay home in your bed. But I don't want you snoring in the pew. Maybe that's not even true. If you're going to fall asleep, come here. Maybe by osmosis, you'll hear what's being taught. But don't tell people you really want to be at church when you don't really intend to be. Be here. And then letter C, it's all a matter of priorities. Your church attendance speaks loud and clear regarding how important you think God, His Word, and His church really are to you. What do others think that you are saying? Colossians 1:8 says, back in verse 7, I learned from you from Epaphras, our fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. The Spirit of God is teaching. The Spirit of God will speak through you, but you need to be here to learn and allow him to fill you. And that's part of being a member of a church is being there and supporting so others. It's not just an encouragement to me, but it's an encouragement to one another to see people. And I know when you miss, someone notices it, and they wonder where you are. Number two, you render willingly your service to the Lord. Again, we talked about spiritual gifts a few weeks ago, and we'll talk a little bit more about that next week, but we gave you a spiritual gift inventory if anyone would like to take that. We still have several back there, and I have many more up in my office. But it's like 108 or 180 questions. I can't remember exactly what it is. And you just kind of fill it out, answer honestly, and then you do it. You flip it over, and where you mark, you just kind of add it up, and it'll show you. It's not a diagnostic thing, but it's kind of a good idea of what is your gift. Is it service? Is it ministry? Is it being a prophet, which is not telling forth things, but it's just giving the word of God out. So it'll give you an idea of what your spiritual gifts are. But we should be ready to serve. Ephesians 2:10 tells us we are his workmanship. And we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. God saves us to serve. I remember hearing that when I was first saved. The man who led me to Christ, I said, now, Ron, I was 8 years old. I still remember it. I talked to him many times over the following years. And he said, Ron, he said, you're not saved just to get to heaven. You're saved to serve the Lord. And so many Christians are content to have this home in heaven and this mansion that's being prepared for them, but they're not willing to do a whole lot here. God has saved you in order to serve. Be laborers together. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, we're God's fellow workers. We're laboring together. When we get together tonight, we'll have 17, 18, I don't know if it's 20 maybe, staff members. And again, some people come to listen. You'll hear them laughing. The adults that are listening will be up there laughing before the kids come out. And then they're serious when the kids are there doing their verses. When we're with the kids, we have a good time. We make it fun. If you come and you want to watch game time and you want to see kids having a blast, come and just watch in the gym. But we're all laboring together. Billy does the games. We have different people who are doing the TNTers or the Sparks or Cubbies. And then, again, people who are in the office keeping track of everything, keeping track of the offering. It all goes together, but we're laboring together. When you come and you clean the church or you mow the lawn, or if you haven't noticed out front, it's all ready for fall and it looks beautiful out there, the Simmons do that. The Simmons, I don't know how many hours. Did you both do that this week? Were you feeling well enough to do it, Billy? Okay. I don't know if she was really feeling well enough, but she did it anyway. But we kind of walk past that and think, oh, that's really pretty. But that's laboring together with the body of Christ. And they're doing something that they enjoy. And they had told me 4 or 5 years ago, they came to me and said, we're not able to do a whole lot, but we'll take care of the front of the church and the landscaping. And I hope you appreciate that. It's beautiful all through the summer. It's beautiful right now. But all of us serve the Lord. People who are praying, I appreciate the deacons. Both of the deacons who were supposed to pray this morning were away. Russ and Ron are both on traveling. But when we get together, that's laboring together. That's upholding what's going on here before church. So be laborers together. Be faithful. Let us see in our service and our ministry. 1 Corinthians 4:1-2 says, to be found faithful. To be found faithful and trustworthy. Letter D, use our gifts and abilities for God's glory and to build his church. Peter says, serve as good stewards. Use your gift for the Lord. Whatever God's given you, you're responsible for. If it is to serve, if it is to be a hospitality, whatever your gift is, use it and be a good steward of it, because you're going to give an account to God at some point when you stand before him. So we looked at faithfulness in attending, service rendered willingly, financial support. And again, please don't be turned off by this. We talked about giving a few weeks ago. But 1 Corinthians chapter 16 says this. It says, I won't read it, but it says our giving should be purposeful. We should have an understanding of why it's going. It's going for all the saints to meet the work that God has for the church. And that's one of the things when we saw our finances at the end of last year, the board talked about cutting out some missionaries, and I said, no, I didn't really want to do that. So I took a cut in pay for this year, and our finances have picked up. But we did not want to back off on our promises and our commitments to the missionaries. I would hate to have written to the Tallmans or the Abrahams or any of our missionaries and say, hey, you know, we're just going through some financial needs. We're going to take care of our pastor and pay him, but we're going to cut you out for at least the next foreseeable 18 months or so. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that as pastor. We're to meet the needs of the saints. And just pray for our finances. They're picking up, but our giving needs to be purposeful. It's to meet the needs of those that our people serve. It needs to be planned, he says, on the first day of the week. That means regularly, systematically. If you're traveling, we do have the online giving, but gives, you know, save up and bring your tithe and offering to the church when you come back from vacation, but have it planned out. It needs to be personal. Paul says, let each of you each of the people in the church give, and then it needs to be proportionate. Put aside and save as he may prosper. Again, the bare minimum that we'll talk about this in January as we do every year, our financial first couple weeks in January or our stewardship, it's far beyond 10%. But if you're not giving at all, give 10% to start and then see how God blesses you and then increase that. 10% is the bare minimum tithe. But many Christians I know don't even do that. Letter B, he says, 2 Corinthians, we should give liberally, joyfully, willingly, abundantly, and earnestly. God loves the cheerful giver. Letter C, note how significant Jesus sees our handling of money. I thought I had my Bible open there, and I don't. Let me just turn back to Luke 16. If you want to turn back there and read that, you can do that with me. Well, Luke 16, verses 10 to 13, Jesus said, "One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And the one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in very much. If then you think you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you what is that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or will he be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." God makes it very clear. He says your giving reflects your heart condition. So make sure you give properly. And then on the back, we'll finish this up and be done just a little bit early, because it'll take me a while to walk to the fellowship hall. Carlene already asked me if I needed help off the stage when we were shaking hands. But proper relationships with other church members. You saw the beginning part, your commitment to the church in giving and serving. And this is how we serve one another. And we often overlook that as the body of Christ. We think of church as coming and worshiping the Lord and listening to the message and maybe singing and worship. But we don't often think about the body is one another. And one of the things I appreciate so much about each church I've had the privilege of serving in is just when you guys were shaking hands, I love to see it. Russ and I comment about that all the time when there's laughter. And trying to get you guys to come back and sit down is always a chore. But we love that. And it's just a neat thing to take part in. When I visited Janice the other day, I told her I was going to go see Viv after that. And Janice said, "Oh, make sure you tell her hello. And tell her I'm thinking of her." So I went to see Viv, and I said, first thing I said, "I want you to know, I just stopped to see Janice," and she said to tell you how she goes, "Oh, she's been such a good friend." When Betty Drift passed away, all you know, people were saying that Viv said, "Oh, she was such a good friend. We love one another." They all asked about Evelyn. They all asked about several of you, and I won't say this publicly, but if you want to hear what else I told Viv, I'll share that with you. It was a little surprise to her. But it wasn't true. I just want to see if she was paying attention to me. But proper relationships with other members. Letter A, walk together in Christian love. Walk together in love. Not just saying you love one another, but praying for one another, encouraging one another, and just sincerely loving one another. Letter B, greet one another. Be welcoming. And that's what you guys were doing earlier. I love, again, when people walk in, they shake hands, and people get up and walk across the church and go say hello to someone, and always make someone feel welcome. During our missions month, please intentionally do that. When we have a missionary here, let them know how much you appreciate them. Let them know how much you appreciate their service. Let them know that you're going to pray for them. And then as God brings them to mind, do that. And that's what letter C says, pray for one another. Do that. I appreciate our people who come out to our prayer meeting and people who I put on the newsletter. I send that out every Monday. And sometimes I send it out a couple of times. If I get an update on someone, I'll send that out. But I send that out because I know people are going to pray. I had a friend from New York wrote to me just the other day and thanked me. He said, "Thank you for praying for Kimberly." That's his daughter. He said, "I know that you do." And just to know, for him to know that I'm praying for her is an encouragement. When someone comes to me, a couple weeks ago, we went up to the windmill. I don't know if I mentioned this, I don't know if I did. Again, I'm 60 years old. We went up to the windmill, and everybody had been up there. There's a lady who does the crochet, not crochet, but she makes all the animals and does all those things. And she takes portraits, and she's in a wheelchair. I might have said this last Sunday. If I did, I apologize. But she I did. Okay. But for those of you who weren't here, she just said, Ron, she took out a prayer. She goes, I pray for you every day. Man, that is so encouraging. So do that for one another. Pray for one another. I thought I had said that, but it just wasn't registering in my mind. Letter D. Put others first. Put others first. I struggle with that. I struggle with that. I imagine you do too. If I'm frustrated with someone or just disappointed in them, I tend to put myself first and want maybe some revenge or don't always put others first. And I just need to talk that over to the Lord and confess that. Aid each other, letter D, in sickness or distress. Be there for one another. Let one another know that you're there. Janice, who believes she's dying, who knows she's dying, says, let Viv know I'm thinking of her. I think she might even said I'm praying for her. Boy, what an encouragement that is to hear someone say that, to aid each other in sickness or distress. Letter F, serve one another. Look for opportunities to serve. Look for opportunities to give of yourselves to someone. Letter G, avoid gossip and criticism. Man, this is one that every church member needs to hear. Not all the time in here. It might happen. I don't hear a whole lot of it here. But I've certainly been in churches where it does happen. And it's a sad, sad thing to hear people talk about one another and gossiping about one another. I've had people from here come to me and say, I would tell you something about a situation, but it would be gossip. And that always piques my heart. I want to find out. But I never ask. But I appreciate people's wisdom and maturity in saying, I can't do it because that would be gossip. Please avoid that. And then the final ones, letter H, be slow to take offense and always be ready for reconciliation. Does that mean we overlook sin? Not, absolutely not. But don't take offense if someone doesn't see you on a Sunday morning or doesn't put their hand out and talk to you. I remember a couple years ago I had a really bad sore throat and cough, and I stayed in the front, and I didn't want to go telling everybody, but Russ said, please don't think Pastor's being ignorant this morning. He just doesn't want to shake anyone's hand. I appreciate it. People could have been offended by that if Russ hadn't said something. But I've had people get upset because they sat in the back. This is up in New York. They sat in the back of the church. They got there a little bit late, and they left just before the singing was completed. And then they called us as a pastor that week and said, that church is the most unfriendly church I've been to. I've been coming here for a couple months, and no one's ever spoken to me. And we kind of put two and two together and realized you're late, and you leave early. Please don't do that. Stay and talk to people, but let people know that you have a need. Let people know that you have a concern. Just talked to my son out in Los Angeles yesterday. He called me for my birthday, and he was sharing something. This isn't certainly in a Christian context, but he really handled it in a very, very mature way in his business. And he had somebody on his team that he was thinking he had to get rid of. And he called me last Sunday. He called me and told the situation to me. He said, Dad, he said, his personality just rubbed me the wrong way. And he's getting some other guys on the team really frustrated. So he said, I asked him when he called yesterday, I said, how did that come? Did you ever talk to this guy? He said, Dad, he called me right after I hung up with you. And he said, he told me all these things he's gone through. This guy's a musician, pretty well known out in Los Angeles, where he was getting well known. And he said his old manager took advantage of him. He said he went through all these things. He had different groups lie about him and all this. And he said to Cameron, he said, my girlfriend asked me what I do for fun. He goes, I don't have any fun. He said, I don't have any friends. He said, I am just so hurt by what's going on. And he said, I'm just kind of lashing out. And Cameron said, well, here's what I want to do. He said, I want you to step aside until January. Take some time to heal yourself. But he said, you don't have any friends. He said, I want you to come over and spend some time with my roommate and I and a couple of other friends. And he said, you can't serve on the team right now. But he said, you need to be healed. He says, you need to have some friends in your life. And I said, Cameron, you got to pray for him. You got to try to do some spiritual stuff there. I was talking as I was driving. And he said, Dad, I didn't want to be offended. He said, I didn't want his personality to ruin a relationship. Just because his personality rubs you the wrong way, he said, I still want to be friends with the guy. And I thought, that is so perfect if we can apply that to the church. If we would not be offended, but be looking for opportunities to take one reconciliation. Letter I, encourage one another. It might be a note. It might be just a pat on the shoulder. It might be a hug. It might just be letting someone know that you are praying for them. Letter J, show hospitality to one another. And then K, restore one another in love. Those are things that you are responsible for. I'm responsible for, too, as a pastor, but I'm also a member of the church. But these are the things that Draper Baptist Church can be such a powerful light in the community. If we do those things, there's people going to say, there's something different about those people at Draper. They might say that already. I don't know. but they're going to say, there's something different about those people. They love one another. They love each other. They enjoy, they don't just worship together on a Sunday morning, but they have fun together out when they're out and about. That's what I want to be known for as a pastor. That's what I want our church to be known for. And that's what I hope you want to be known for, that we do those things on this list, that we have a proper relationship not only with Christ, that we'd only support the church financially and prayerfully, but that we genuinely love one another. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you've called us into this working, serving relationship with you. And Lord, we want to be part of your church. We want to be part of your kingdom and building your kingdom. And I pray that we would love one another, that we would love you first and foremost, but Lord, we would love one another and be a light to a watching world, that people in this, just around the surrounding houses here, would see Draper Baptist as different, but certainly people out in the community, and then around the world, as our missionaries are proud of the church that supports them and prays for them and even encourages them, maybe sends them emails and lets them know that we're praying for them and lets them know that we're there in the struggles that they face. We pray, Lord, that our church would be a real light, and Lord, serve you faithfully until you return again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.